us more.
This is Equip and Empower, the Christine Kane Podcast. For everyone who desires to bring hope, create change, and live out their God-given destiny with passion and joy. Here's your host, Christine Kane.
That you are here today. Thank you so much for joining us. I know that God has a great word for you today. We are speaking about how to live a passionate life. You see, there are too many people that are walking around the planet just kind of looking like they're sucking lemons, looking like really depressed, really mediocre, like life is not full of joy. But you know, we serve a God who I believe wants us to live an abundant, passionate, purpose-driven life. And I think if a whole bunch of us get a bit of spark back into our step, a little glint in our eye, living like we have a sense of purpose, people are going to look at us and think, not only, what is she smoking? They're also going to think, I want some of what she is having. And I think that's really important. Our text for this series is going to be from the book of John, chapter 10. Of course, I love passion because I'm Greek. And, you know, we are passionate about everything. I remember when I first started dating Nick. Now, Nick is the 12th of 13 living children. His mother had 15 full-term pregnancies in 17 years, which for every woman watching out there, I know there was not a lot of television in that part of Australia, obviously, and they kind of figured out what it was all about. That's why we're talking about a passionate life. But I'm saying all of that to go, he came, as you could tell, from good English Catholic stock. And so that's kind of what happened. So sort of a very British kind of feel about their home. But when we met, he came to my house and we were just having not only a normal conversation, I want to clarify this. We were on our best behavior because by the time I brought him home, I was like 29 years old. My mother was so desperate for me to marry anybody that she was like on her absolute best behavior. She's like, please, you know, you have my daughter, six cows, the house, you know, whatever. We will give you whatever you need. And so we were having what we would call very, very intimate conversation, beautiful. Now, Nick, I could see him, he's pale anyway, but he went another shade of white when he was at my house. And as we were leaving that night, he goes, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I said, what? He goes, I didn't realize your family fights so much. And I go, what do you mean fight? And he's like, you'll talk so loud. And because we were talking in Greek, he couldn't understand most of what we were saying. I go, babe, that is like our polite conversation when everybody is around. And then I went to his house, which was very good, British and ordered. And I'd like never seen, you know, the tone of voice sort of never went above this. And it's like we would go out, I go, Nick, are you excited? And this would be his face. Yeah. Nick, are you sad? Yeah. Nick, are you angry? Yeah. I mean, there was like no change. And so you could imagine, as we sorted our married life out, there was a lot of moments of intense fellowship because I just think, I'm like in my sleep, I'm passionate. I sleep passionately, I talk passionately, everything about me is full of emotion, and sometimes we'll be sitting there. And he goes, could you settle down? I go, I'm not even worked up yet. You want to see worked up? I will take you worked up. Greeks are just passionate. It's in our blood. It's in our DNA. And Jesus was Jewish. Please don't forget that kind of Mediterranean, Middle Eastern passion is in our bones. And I think for us as Christians, God wants us to live a passionate life. So in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 7, the Bible says, so Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. A great, great passage of Scripture. Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. He is the door to salvation. I love the fact that this Scripture reminds us that He is a Good Shepherd. Psalm 119 says that God is good and God does good. Goodness emanates from God. Good is who God is. God is good. Jesus is a Good Shepherd. Now, the fact is, not all of us have always thought that about God, and someone could be watching this on the other side of the screen and you're like, what God are you talking about? The God that I grew up knowing about, He was always angry. Everyone said that He was always disappointed in us. He's a judgmental God. He's a critical God. He's a negative God. That's the kind of God that a lot of people have been introduced to or have been told about. But the God of the Bible is a good God. The God of the Bible is a good shepherd. Jesus loves you. He has a plan and a purpose and a destiny for you. The Bible says He's a good shepherd. Now, if you believe that God is good, that God does good, that God works all things together for good, it affects your perception of Him. It affects how you receive from Him. It affects how you interact with Him. I mean, if you think that God is an aloof, angry, dictatorial despot that is just looking for you to do something wrong, which is probably very often, and then just basically, you know, tell you off for doing things wrong, and He's just a God that's based on rules and regulations, then you are not going to relate to Him in a loving way. In fact, you want to be distant from Him. Anyone, you know, doesn't want to walk into a God that is angry, a God that is judgmental or negative or critical. Well, Scripture tells us that He's a good shepherd, that He's a good God. And in fact, He came that we might have life, Scripture says, and not just a normal life, not just a little small life, not just a little passive life, but He came that we might have life and life more abundant. God has called us to have an abundant life, a full life. It is the will of God that you prosper. It is the will of God that you live a blessed, abundant life. Now, when I was growing up, my view of God was that He was just a distant, aloof Father that was always angry and He was never having a good day. And my idea of salvation was that I was thinking, if I live till I'm 99, I'm going to wait till I'm 98 and a half and I've got 1 foot in the grave, and then I'm going to pray the sinner's prayer for fire insurance so I don't go to hell. And that's what I thought Christianity was. I just knew I didn't want to go to the fiery place and the bad place, but it never occurred to me that I could have an abundant life here on earth. It never occurred to me that God was good and actually had something for me to do here. I'm here to tell you that your God is a good God, that your God loves you, that there's nothing that you have done that can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, that there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, that your God has a great plan and purpose and destiny for you. He's not mad at you. He is mad about you. He loves you so much. That's the kind of God that we serve. But I didn't know that. So that meant I was really, really nervous of God all the time. I thought I had to get all cleaned up to go to God. I thought that, you know, I couldn't pray unless I had just said all the right things or done all the right things. And it is so exhausting to try to work yourself up to get good enough to get to God. The good news about the gospel of Jesus Christ is that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ loves us. That you can never be good enough for God. Jesus did it all. Jesus paid the price for all of us. And on our worst day, Jesus Christ came and paid the price for all of our sin, gave us forgiveness for our past, a brand new life, and a hope for the future. And I love the fact that He came to give us a brand new life today. See, what happened in my religious background is someone forgot to tell me that you could have a good life on earth. Someone just said, you need God so that you don't go to hell. But they didn't tell me what I needed Him for here on earth. So I thought that all the people that were having the fun were the people that didn't know Jesus. And, you know, they were all right and they were all having a good time. So I thought, well, how about I don't know Jesus till I'm older so I can have fun first. And then when I'm too old to have fun, I'll accept Jesus into my life. And now I know you all think that's absurd, but you'd be surprised how many people live like that and think, you know, I kind of sort of know there's a God up there somewhere. But he is so boring and he's so angry and he is so judgmental and legalistic. How about I get to know him just before I die so that I can have fun before I get to that place? Now, here's the sad thing, that we were created by God for a relationship with God. And it's Jesus that connects us to God, and it's Jesus that connects us to the grace of God. And our God is not an angry despot just looking to make our life here on earth miserable. It's not like he had nothing else to do in his cosmic creation. He thought, I'm going to create earth, then I'm going to make people, then I'm going to make their life really miserable, then I'm going to watch them be really miserable for their whole life and really enjoy it, and then just before they die, they're going to ask me into their heart. Awesome. Look, that is not the God of the Bible. Yes. But looking at some Christians, you would think that. You would just kind of go like, do you know God? Because you look like you've been sucking lemons. Like, you look like you are so depressed. You look like you are so sad. You look like you are so miserable. It's just you walk around and you're so legalistic and you're in bondage and there's no freedom and there's no life. That's not the good shepherd that we're talking about here, who said that the enemy comes to do one thing, to steal, to kill, to destroy. But I came, Jesus said, so that you may have life, not just normal life, not just a mediocre life, but that you might have a life that is more abundant. I love that Zoe life that the Bible talks about. You know, Nick and I oversee three Zoe churches, one in Thessaloniki, Greece, one in Warsaw, Poland, and one in Sofia, Bulgaria. And those churches are flourishing and really, really starting to reach the communities that they're in. But we didn't want just a normal life church. We want a Zoe life church, an abundant life church, because we want people to know that God has so much more for them. People should look at the people of God and think, those people are on something. I want what they're having. I want what they've got. There's a joy in them that I don't know. They've got a peace that surpasses all understanding. There is a love in them that is absolutely astounding. They are so compassionate. They are so forgiving. They are so merciful. What is wrong with these Christians? They look like they're actually happy. In the world in which we live, that is just so full of anger and divisiveness, so much terror, so much crime, so much violence. Do you realize what a testimony we are? If we could actually really reflect the life, the abundant life of Christ in us. So in this series, I want us to look at the passionate life. I don't want us to just kind of go, I'm just a boring Christian that just wears beige and I have no personality and I've had a lobotomy and I'm just a Christian and you too can know Jesus and have no personality and just wear beige for the rest of your life. Yes, that's awesome. What is that? What is that? I want us to know an abundant life, a passionate life, an all of life, a life that just loves living, that gets up every day and goes, hey, life is for living and I love living. And so we're talking about living an abundant life. And our focus verse through all of this, knowing that our good shepherd came that we might have life and life more abundant. It is important that we live this because Romans chapter 8 verse 11 says the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you and on the inside of me. Could you just wrap your head around that? The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. People go, Christine, you know, why do you act like you've got so much strength and courage and you're full of the power of the Holy Spirit? I go, because I am. Because the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of me. So yes, there are obstacles. Yes, there are trials. Yes, there are challenges. Yes, there are disappointments. Yes, there is suffering. Yes, there is pain. But ultimately, with all of that, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and I can overcome all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can do that. Amen. Because the Spirit of God's living on the inside of us. Right. Jesus even said, look, when trials come, not if, but when, they will come. Don't freak out. Be of good cheer. That's what he said. I'm like, awesome. That's all right. You're God. You can say that. But he says, you know what? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And he doesn't say if, he goes when you face trials of many kinds. I want you to be of good cheer because you have overcome the world. He has overcome the world. Therefore, our victory is in him. I remember I had a friend at college and she'd been gone for a few days and I hadn't seen her for 3 days. We were really close. She had come from a really well-to-do family and went to the best high school in our state and was really, really super bright. She was top cheerleader and a great athlete in her own right. So, you know, she was one of those absolutely gorgeous. She could have been a model. She's a cheerleader. She's an athlete. She's a 4.0 student. And, you know, just it's all going for her. And then I was like this little kid from the poorest suburb that went to the worst school in the state. She went to the best, like literally before we met at university. And she had all the cool friends. And I was kind of like just the kid that was still so broken because of the abuse and the adoption and just so much brokenness in me. Well, I remember, I'm thinking, what can I tell her about Jesus? Like, you know, she's got it all, man. She's got the best boyfriend. She's got the top grade. She lives in the best house. She goes to all the parties. She's got everything. She just, you know, has got it all. Well, I hadn't seen her for 3 days, and this was in the late 80s in Australia when ecstasy had just kind of really hit the country big time and rave parties were happening everywhere. So after a few days, she comes into the cafeteria where I was doing some work, and she yells at me. She goes, Chris. And I get up. I go, Deb, where have you been? I haven't seen you for a few days. She goes, Chris, I've just had the most amazing 3 days of my life. She goes, we've been in a warehouse at a rave party. I haven't slept for the last 3 days. We danced all day and all night. And Chris, it was so fantastic. There was so much love in that room. There was so much joy in that room. There was so much peace in that room. And with that, she reached into her pocket and she pulled out half an ecstasy tablet. And she said, Chris, I experienced so much love, joy, and peace. And I saved you half an ecstasy tablet because I did not want you to miss out on the feeling that I had. And in that moment, I thought, she's a better friend to me than I am to her. Because she found love, joy, and peace, even if it was just for a few hours. And she wanted me to experience that, that she pulled out and had saved half her ecstasy tablet. And here's me, who's supposed to know the author of love and joy and peace. And love, joy, and peace are fruits of the Holy Spirit. They're not fruits of ecstasy, incidentally. But the deal was, she was more passionate about her synthetic drug than I was about my Jesus. And I remember that day at Sydney University making a decision. I will never again let someone else be more passionate about their synthetic drug than I am ever going to be about my Jesus. And here we are 3 decades later, and people go, Christine, why do you act so passionate? And every time I come back and I think in my mind, man, when I thought someone had everything and I thought, you know what, do they really need Jesus? I thought, oh my word, we have got the answer. His name is Jesus. We have got true peace, true joy, true love. We have got everything in Christ that pertains to life and godliness. Why would we not want everybody to know? I'm not talking about some legalistic bondage or religion. I'm talking about a passionate life, abundant life, the source of life himself. His name is Jesus Christ. Without him, there is no life. In him is abundant life. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And so Christ followers ought to be passionate people. You go, Christine, you know, that's just a personality thing. No. Passion is not a personality profile. It's a Jesus follower profile. Yeah. When you encounter Jesus Christ, there ought to be passion about your life. Passion is not hype. It's not hype. See, a lot of people go, you're just caught up in the hype. I'm not caught up in the hype. I've had enough pain and suffering in my life to know that this is not all hype. Hype depends on something outside of itself to stimulate it. So you get into a hyped up environment, which means, you know, man, I just need a big worship band and I need bright lights and I need lots of people. That's hype. And I need another event and I need a better message and I need more. That's like a drug addict. I need more. But passion is not externally motivated by things. It's internally regulated by the Spirit of God, which means it actually doesn't matter what's happening around me. I've got the passion of God within me. I've got a deep-rooted passion. Now, when Jesus was going to the cross, you remember the steps of the cross. It's called the Passion of the Christ. Mel Gibson did the movie The Passion. Now, it was not called the boring religious obligation of the Christ. It was called the Passion. So passion isn't just about doing fun things. Passion means that I am steadfast and integrous And because of my passion for Jesus, I'm not going to compromise. Because of my passion for Jesus, I'm not going to get caught up in the cultural things of the world. Because of my passion for Jesus, I'm willing to be misunderstood by man so that I can be faithful to God. It is my passion for Jesus that keeps me steadfast and keeps me on course. It's not dependent on what's happening around me. I don't need people to hype me up. I need the Spirit of God, and I need to stir up that gift of faith on the inside of me. That's where the passion comes. And so what happens with that is that we have to understand that I believe God wants us to live enthusiastic lives. And you don't go, well, Christine, that's just because you're Greek and so you're enthusiastic. The word enthusiasm means in theos, God, in God. If you are in God, you ought to be enthusiastic. And it doesn't matter where you fit on the DISC profile. It doesn't matter what your strength is on the Strength Finder. It does not matter what your Enneagram number is. You can be an 8, you can be a 2. It really doesn't matter. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about a personality profile. I'm talking about being in Christ. If you are in Christ, if you are en theos, in God, then there ought to be a passion, because God's very passionate. And so whatever your Enneagram number is, there still ought to be a passion about the way you live your life. There ought to be something that emanates from you that is bigger than you. There's something powerful inside of you that should flow out of you. You and I ought to be touching the world around us with the passion of Christ. There ought to be an in-Godness in us that comes out of us and flows into the world around us. Many of us, we pray for revival. God, send revival. And God says, I did, I sent you. Out of you will flow rivers of living water. Wherever you go, revival has turned up. If you're in your college, if you're in your workplace, if you're in your community, guess what? Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you should be flowing out of you, and out of you, rivers of living water should be changing the world around you. That's actually what should happen for us as Christians. And so, I love what 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 in the Message Bible says. It says, dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide, open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. I love that. Open up your lives. My hope and prayer in this series is that we will learn to live big-hearted lives. He says, open up your lives, live openly and expansively. Some of us, we live such small lives. Some people don't even have a passport. Some people have never even left their city. Some people are like, well, you know, I'm just really happy where I am. But there is a world. Jesus said, go into all the world. God has created you not just to live a small life, but a wide, open, spacious life. A life that lets other people in. A life that is generous. A life that helps and serves a lost and a broken humanity. A life that says, I'm open. Christ in you is what we need to get into the world around you. If you just live a small, limited, contained life, that's not a passionate life. Have you ever seen the movie Groundhog Day? It's just like, you know, it's so hilarious. We're just reliving the same old day. I think many Christians live like that. They just get up, brush your teeth, get dressed, have breakfast, maybe the other way around, go to work, come home, watch TV, have a bath, go to bed. Next day, get up. This time we won't brush our teeth before breakfast, but you know. But I tell you, some people, you could just predict their life. It's just this Groundhog Day, Groundhog Week, Groundhog Month, Groundhog Year. Do you think that's all God put us on the earth to do? To live our vapor here on earth just to go through the same old system? Just to live the same old day? He says, no, no, no. Let's break out. Let's have a wide, open, spacious life, a life that is huge, a life that is passionate, a life that touches the world around us. Don't settle for small. You go, well, Christine, we've always been in this community. Christine, our family has always done it. This is what we've always done for a trade. Maybe God is inviting you through this series to lift your eyes up, to get a view of a bigger God, to say there is a big, expansive world. I don't want to live a small, limited, contained life. I want to live a large, wide, open, generous, spacious life. I want to make a difference in the world around me. I want the Spirit of God to flow through me. I want to bring joy and love and peace and compassion and mercy and justice and grace into a lost and a broken world. God, use me to live a passionate life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
For more, see the show notes or go to ChristineKane.com and connect with Christine on your social media of choice. New episodes of Equip and Empower drop every Monday and Thursday. If you haven't already, subscribe now so you never miss an episode.